Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. So let us get into our learning. So last week, we ended with the note that Aviyah Lober Shatichya gave out with the plant at her husband Shloshim at Har Herzl. The past few weeks, we have been discussing, learning. The first week I came back from Eretz Yisrael, we learned together the hesped of Tichya Lober, the mother of Yehonatan, and what she spoke about, Gam Achre Dvarim HaKashim Ovi Malacha Ani Omeid. And then last week we spoke about Tikuma, and the fact that the Shoresh for Nekama and Tikuma are the same. Nekama, revenge, Tikuma, standing up. I don't know how to translate that well into English. What would be a good word for in English for Tikuma?
Rising.
What?
Rising.
Rising. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's a good word. Rising up. And we spoke about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who will take the ultimate nakama, and then Klal Yisrael will have a Tikuma in Eretz Yisrael. And we ended with a letter, that a note, a poem, a note that Aviyah Shetichya Lober wrote and gave out with a plant at her husband's Shloshim, Hashem Yikom Damo. And if you remember, at the end, she asked everybody to take this plant home, plant it in your heart and in your home, and take some of the midot of her husband, Emunah, Simcha, Gvurah, Amelut, and to take the midot of her husband home and plant them in your heart and in your home, and from that we will rise up. So I wanted to now continue. This is sort of, every shiur has been different, but continue with this idea of the importance of planting and new life that is planting. And it's something that we daven for every day in our Amidah, Etzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach. We have this imagery of a seed that is put in the dark earth, and this seed will one day grow again and bring new life. It's really just amazing. I was actually speaking about it yesterday in a different shiur. My daughter in the fall germinated an apple seed. One apple seed. She took an apple seed, not a plant, not a sapling. You know, like when you finish the apple, the core, and what do we do with the core? We throw it in the garbage. And there's seeds in the corn. So I think she looked online. I'm not sure. She germinated a single apple seed. One. You should see the plant that I have on my kitchen windowsill next to the window by the dairy sink, by the milchik sink. You should see the plant. From one apple seed. Of one apple, of all the millions of apples in the whole entire world. What do we do with it? We throw it in the garbage. We think it's trash. Hidden in there is the potential for tremendous life. It's really unbelievable. And it's so amazing because all the leaves face the window. Like it's growing facing the light. So where the stem is, there's not leaves on all sides of the stem. It's specifically facing the window because that's where there's light. She also grew an avocado pit. What do you do with the avocado pit? So there's some theories. It keeps avocado green. Keep it in your salad. Whatever. I'm not sure they actually work. But fine. But what do you do with the avocado pit? You throw it in the garbage also. You should see the plant that is from this avocado pit. It's really marbu masach Hashem. Kulam b'chachma sisa malah ha'aretz kinanecha. And this is the imagery. And sometimes when I'm davening Shemona Esrei and I say et samech David avdecha meheir satzmiach, I think of these plants. Because one apple seed from one apple of all the millions of apples in the world. And from there is whole new life. And it's something that to us looks like garbage. Something that to us looks like useless. Something that, okay, you want the avocado fruit, but who wants the pit? What am I going to do with the pit? Throw it in the garbage. And really life exists within. And that's the imagery of what it will be in the time of Mashiach. So often through our periods of galus, our very long and dark periods of exile, Klal Yisrael looks like, and Eicha speaks about this, looks like refuse amongst the nations of the world. But from that very dark place where it doesn't look like new life is possible, new life will sprout. So I want to begin in one verse from Parshas Truma, this idea of planting and growing. So in the beginning of Parshas Truma, we are told about all the materials that are needed for the construction, the Binyan HaMishkan. The last section of the book of Shemos deals with Mishkan. Shibud and Geulat Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Mishkan. Those are the three main themes of the book of Shemos. And when we come up to Parshas Truma, we are starting with the instructions for Mishkan. Truma Tetzava, beginning of Kitisa, is the blueprint or the outline for how to build the Mishkan. Vayakob Pekudei is the implementation and the building of the Mishkan. So in the list, what are some of the materials that are needed for the building of the Mishkan? I'm quoting quickly from the Psukim. Zahav, the Kesef, Unechoshes. It's not on your handout. I will tell you when to look on your handout, please. Gold, silver, copper, Usecheiras, Vargaman, Vesola, Shani, Vesheish, Veizim, and blue wool, turquoise wool, and purple wool, and red wool, and linen, and goat hair. The Orod Elim Me'adamim, and ram skins dyed red, the Orod Tachashim and Tachashim skins. These are all materials that are used for different parts of the Mishkan. The Atzi Shitim and Shitim wood. You need oil for lighting, and you need spices for the anointing oil, and you need the Ketoras Hasamim, the incense mixture of 11 spices. You need the filling stones, the Shoham stones, and the filling stones for the shoulder straps and the breastplate. So we could really spend an hour, I'm not joking, going through what each material is used for in the construction of the Mishkan. I want to talk about one thing specifically, and that is the pasuk on your handout. Shemos 25:5. It's the first verse on your handout. Chaf hey hey. The oros elim me'adamim, and ram skins dyed red. The oros techashim and techashim skins. So what were these used for? The ram skins dyed red, and the techashim skins were for the uppermost cover of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was covered in three covers, and the uppermost cover of the Mishkan was ram skin dyed red and techashim skin. Was it two layers, one layer fused together? Machokas of Chazal. But the top layer of the Mishkan was made of ram skin dyed red and tachashim skins. What was the tachash? A colorful animal, says Rashi, that only existed at that time. We don't know exactly what it was. Its identity is unknown to us, says Rashi, but it was a colorful animal that prided itself on its colors, and it was used as part of the uppermost cover of the Mishkan. Okay, va'atze shitim, and shitim wood. So it's very famous. Don't look at your handout yet, please. Where did they get shitim wood? What does Rashi say? Who remembers what Rashi says?
I remember they in Mitzrayim, already back in Mitzrayim, they knew that they were going to need this wood. And so they cut.
Who brought it? How did they get it? Yeah? Oh, Yaakov Avinu brought it down to Mitzrayim. He planted them in Mitzrayim, and when the Bnei Yisrael left Egypt, Yaakov tzafa beruach hakodesh, Yaakov saw in ruach hakodesh that they would need these atzei shitim, this shitim wood, because it's used for many, many things in the Mishkan. For example, the beams of the Mishkan, what makes up the walls of the Mishkan, the beams are wood covered in gold. The Mizbeach HaKetores, the altar for burning animal sacrifices, is wood covered in copper. The Mizbeach HaZahav, the golden altar, Mizbech HaPnimi, Mizbech HaKetores, is wood covered in gold. The Shulchan for the Lachem HaPanim is wood covered in gold. The Aron Kodesh, the Holy of Holies, is wood covered on the inside and the outside with gold. So this wood is very important in the construction of the Mishkan. So the first source you have on your hand is this very, very famous Rashi, which is interesting. Sometimes till you start, you know, delving into a topic and preparing a shir, you never really question and you never really see any other idea. So, like you both knew, this Rashi is famous. Rashi says, "Va'atzei shitim," at the top of your hand. Ume'ayin hayu lahem b'midbar. Where did they have shitim wood in the desert? Perish Rabbi Tanchuma, Yaakov Avinu tzafa beruach hakodesh. Sha'asidin Yisrael livnos mishkan b'midbar, v'hevi arazim l'mitzrayim, unita'am. I'm on your handout second. First one was the pasuk, we're in Rashi. Mitziva levanav litlam imahem kishiyetsu mitzrayim. Okay, so Where did they have Shittim were from? In the desert. So Rabbi Tanchuma says, you know, did it fall from Shemayim, like the Avnei Shohem and the Avnei Miluim? Maybe it just came down with the Ananei HaKavod, like the fancy stones that the Nisiyim brought for the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Is that where it was from? No. Rabbi Tanchuma says, Yaakov Avinu had a vision. Yaakov Avinu, of course, the Avos were Nevi'im. Yaakov Avinu gazed, he understood through Ruach HaKodesh, that in the future the children of Israel would build a Mishkan in the desert. So he brought cedar trees to Egypt. When they came down. We're going back to Bereishis. We're going back to hundreds of years before. When he came down, he brought cedar trees to Egypt and he planted them. He commanded his sons to take them with him when they left from Egypt. So this is very, very famous. The wood is very important. And the first nakuda that I wrote in my notes is that the foundation of the Mishkan, again, what made the walls? The wood. It was covered, it was beams covered in gold, and they stood in silver sockets. Both Mizbechot, the Mizbech HaKetores, Zahav, Pnimi, Mizbech HaOla, Nechoshech, Chitzoni, were both wood covered in a precious metal. The Aron Kodesh was a wooden box, but it was covered in gold, and so is the Shulchan. So gold is the gold. Wood is the foundation of the structure of the Mishkan and the Kelim of the Mishkan. So I wrote in my notes that we see the foundation of the Kelim and the Mishkan was organic material, something alive, not something not alive. Inorganic silver was used for the sockets. Copper was used for the kiyar and the nechoshes, mizbech nechoshes, and the hooks that connected the 11 panel of goat hair, which was the second covering over the Mishkan. So, and gold was used to cover many of the kelim and the beams, but these were inorganic materials. It's very interesting that the foundation, even though it was covered, of the Mishkan itself and of the kelim was something that lives. Now, it's not a human being, obviously, but it has roots, it has veins, it gives life. It takes life from the ground. It gives life. We're talking about organic material, something that lives and something that grows. A tree is life and a tree gives life. Even if, I just gave a shiur last night and Tama came over to me and she asked me about the aravos. I mentioned something about ayin resh beis in the shiur, the root word aravos, pleasant. So she came over to me and she said, if aravos is the root word of pleasant, means pleasant. It also means guarantor. It also means evening. Also, Rashim are connected. Fine. So she came over and she asked me, if aravos are pleasant, it's the root word of pleasant, then why are they the plant with no taste and no smell? They're the one in the arba minim that is no taste and no smell. So I told her, so we spoke about a few things, but one of the things I said is, you've ever seen an aravos plant, my in-laws have a beautiful aravos tree, it gives shade, and the leaves are very beautiful. It is pleasant to sit in the shade of a tree, it's very beautiful. So even if the tree does not give you fruit, it still has value, and it still gives life. It gives protection to animals, it gives birds a place to make a nest, it gives you shade to sit under, that's all very important. So it occurred to me, when I started to prepare, and again, the point of departure for today's shiur was the note that Aviyah Lober included, that she asked you to take this tree home and to plant balev ubabayit mimidot shal Yehonatan. Plant new life within yourself based on the life of Yehonatan Hashem Yikom Damo. Let's look. So then I thought, it connects to the Sedra, because in the Sedra we have Atzei Shittim, and Atzei Shittim are the foundation for Mishkan and the Kelim. Rashi is very famous. Then I started to look at some other sources, and I really had an eye-opener. So let's look at Rav Shamsher Falhirsch, the next source on your handout. In my own notes, RSRH for your reference is Rav Shamsher Falhirsch. Okay. Atzei Shittim, says Rav Hirsch, the tree and eights generally symbolizes steady, progressive. This is Rav Shamsher Falhirsch. You see, it says commentary to Shmos 25:5. So he's commenting on the different materials that are needed for Binyan HaMishkan. So this is what he says about the Atzei Shittim. Atzei Shitim is the tree. Yes, if you don't have the handout, it's on the bima. You really need it for sure. So please make sure, and it's two papers. Make sure you have both papers. Look at the numbers on the bottom, and you should have 1 of 3 and 3 of 3. Okay. Atzei Shitim, the tree, 8. By the way, of course, it should not be lost to us that Torah in Sefer Mishlei is compared to a tree. It is, sometimes it's even on the parochas, which it happens to be not here, but it is Eitz Chayim Hila Machazikim Bavisum Chayim Ushar. Torah is compared to a tree because a tree is something that organic. A tree is something that takes nutrients through its roots. A Jew must always set down roots and take from our roots, which is our Mesorah, which is our past. And also we grow up like a tree, and well, first of all, we grow physically, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetzei Rachav, but also we should grow up in Gedula, in Amaylos. We should always be striving to reach the heavens in our Avodas Hashem, like a tree. You should see my apple seed, it's not mine, it's Hashem's. You should see the apple seed plant and the avocado plant. It's unbelievable. Torah is compared to a tree because you're always taking from the nutrients. That's what your life should be. You're always giving peiros. Hopefully you're producing spiritual peiros with Torah mitzvos. And you're always growing upwards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atzei Shitim, the tree, 8. And by the way, a tree that's alive, even in the winter when it looks dormant, sometimes we might go through difficult spiritual periods in our personal life where you feel stagnant. Maybe you feel you're not growing. You don't feel so connected. You're going through a hard time in life. You're not so sure where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your life, even though he's always there. You don't always see him. But if the tree is alive, it will always regrow again. And this too is a metaphor for what we go through in life. Sometimes in life, the nisyonos are very, very difficult. It's part of being in Olam Hazeh, and you might feel like a tree in winter that's not really producing anything. However, we know that just like in the spring, the trees will grow again, so to a person, as long as they're connected, kol ozman shanir delek, afshal letaken, the tree will regrow. So now let's go back to, so that was Eitz Chaim here. As long as you recognize the tree of life of Torah, you can always grow more. And you can always regrow, even if you feel there are times when you're stagnant in life. Atzei Shitim, the tree, 8, generally symbolizes steady, progressive growth and development. Erez, the cedar, of which the shita, this is Atzei Shitim, that's plural for 8 shita. Atzei Shitim is plural of 8 shita. So Erez, the cedar, of which the shita is one among 10 varieties, represents in addition the characteristics of greatness and strength. Arazim, arzei halavonon, represent not just a tree, but in addition it represents greatness and it represents strength. Thus, atzei shitim in the Mishkan and its furnishings generally symbolize vigorous, enduring, ever-renewed, and continuous development. Now, Mishkan was an abode where Kaviyacha Hashem and the Bnei Yisrael dwelt together. And part of the process of dwelling in life together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we should have vigor in life. We must be enduring, and Klai Yisrael will always endure. We can ever renew, and it must be a process of continuous development. That's what Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch sees and explains through these Atzei Shitim. So it's not just a tree, it's a tree of greatness and strength. That's the foundation of the home. That's the foundation of the Mishkan, the greatness and the strength of Klal Yisrael, and it represents vigorous, enduring, ever-renewed, and continuous development. Then I came to the Ibn Ezra. I was really, wow. Wow. I don't know, maybe you're familiar with this. When I asked where did they get the trees from, a few of you knew that Yaakov Abinu brought them down to Egypt. So the Ibn Ezra, I'm on page 1 in the middle. Ibn Ezra is very eye-opening. Let's look at it together. Yesh mi kadmonenu sha'armu she'Yaakov Abinu natam. There are those of our early ones, our early Torah sages, our early previous generation Torah teachers and scholars, that say, where did they get Atzei Shitim? Yaakov Avinu planted them. The Yisrael Hotziya Mimitzrayim B'mitzvos Moshe, and Bnei Yisrael, the time of the Exodus, took these trees out of Egypt at the command of Moshe. V'haraya, what is the proof that the Bnei Yisrael took these trees out of Egypt, because the Pasuk says, V'chol asher nimtza ito. That is a Pasuk from Shemos 35:24. It's Pashas Vayakov. You can look up the Pasuk. I gave it to you in your footnote. When it talks about the donations, it says that they brought Atzei Shitim, V'chol asher nimtza ito. Anyone who had with him Atzei Shitim brought it for the Mishkan. Remember I told you, Chumat Tetzav, the beginning of Kitisa, are the instructions. Vayakov Pekudeh are the building of the Mishkan, the actual implementation. So the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayakov, Shemos 35:24, like you see on your handout, they brought Atzei Shitim, anyone who had it in their hand. Okay, so the Ibn Ezra says, there are those who say that these trees, Yesh Mikadmoneinu Sha'amru, that Yaakov planted them, Yaakov Avinu planted them, Israel took them out of Egypt by the command of Moshe. And the proof is that it says in Parshas Vayakov, the time of the building of the Mishkan, anyone who had it in their hand. Kemo HaTcheles V'ha'argaman, like the blue wool, like the purple wool, they brought whatever they had in their hand for donations. The Yesh Litmoa, but you know, really, we have to wonder. I wonder about this, says Ibn Ezra. Lama Neymar Sher Nimtza Ito. Third line of Ibn Ezra. Why does it say that it is found with him in regard to the Atzei Shitim? Litzarcho. Does it mean for his personal possessions? Asher Nimtza Ito. It is found with him. That indicates that it's something you use for your personal possession, like the Kior. Parak Lamed Chas. The kiyar, the woman had it for their personal possession in their hand. One of my favorite Rashi's, even though that's not true, because they're all my favorite. But the woman had these mirrors in their hand. So is it, what's with the Atzei Shitim? Asher nimtza ito letzarcho, one second. Benos Yisrael, hayubiyadan maros. That's exactly what Rashi says, hayubiyadan maros. So they had it in their hand. So what does it mean here by the Atzei Shitim for their personal needs? And if so, we have to wonder, why did they take out from Egypt Atzei Shitim? Kimat Zorach Yesh Lahem. What purpose, I'm coming up to the fourth line of the Ibn Ezra, what purpose, what need is there for these Atzei Shitim? The ode, furthermore, so you could say in this case, the Ibn Ezra, he was really being a rationalist. If we have to label this shot of Ibn Ezra, that's what I would say. Like, I mean, did we ever wonder, but I didn't. If Rashi says something, so then I just take it that at face value. Yaakov Avinu brought Arazim, he planted them. I'm not making a joke, Chas v'Shalom. He brought them to Egypt, he planted them, and when they left, they took them out. So they took a lot of things out. They took reparations from the Egyptians. They took Atzmos Yosef, so they took the Erev Rav, so they took Shitim. Arazim are huge trees. We just saw, Rav Shamsher Falher says, they are not just regular trees, it's an erez, it's a cedar. Arzei halavonan. They are great, they are strong, they are big. Did we ever wonder how they're taking these trees out of Egypt? So I never did, until I was preparing this year. V'od, hine amit, oh wait, v'od, kimatzo cheshem. Why did they take Arazim out of Egypt? Furthermore, line 4, remember, what did they say to the Egyptians? We're going for a 3-day yantif. And then we're coming back. Okay, now, don't be nervous. Is it lying? No. If it's pikuach nefesh and you have to get away from the Nazis, you're going to say whatever you have to say to save your life. If you're going to get out of a hostage situation, there's no such thing. Pikuach nefesh, these are Rasham Kamurim. You're going to say whatever you have to say to get out. So, of course, it's not lying. They had to escape. So, they were in Avodas Parach. They were in Kol Ben Ayulad Oyer Tashlichu. They have to get out of there. So, what did they say? We're going for 3 days. We're going to Lizboach Lelokain, and then we're going to come back. So, furthermore, the Egyptians thought that they are going to have a yantif, to have a celebration to their God. V'achar kach yashuva. By the way, the punctuation's my own. Even Ezra didn't have punctuation like we have today. But this is what he's saying for emphasis. The Egyptians thought that they're going to sacrifice to their God, and then they're coming back. Va'al kein hish'ulam. And therefore the Egyptians lent them. V'sha'alu isha mishchento migaras besa klei kasav uklei zahav usmalos. There's fascinating mefarshim that say that the Egyptians thought makos b'choros was a virus. I forget which mefarsh it is. I'm sorry. It's so interesting. That Malchus Mechorus was a virus. So they gave the Bnei Yisrael their clothing, take it to the desert, air it out, get rid of whatever virus is in it, and then bring it back to us. So they lent the Bnei Yisrael their possessions, take the gold, take the silver, take the clothing. Ve'ech yotziu krashim rabim. How exactly did they take out such huge beams, such massive trees? Orech kol echad mehem esra amos. How did they take out huge tree trunks? How were they carrying them? Each tree was very big, 10 amos. Gam brichim? What was the brichim in the Mishkan? What were the brichim? The walls of the Mishkan, okay, the east is the entrance. East is the entrance. So the long sides are north and south, and the back wall is the west. So there are atzei shitim that make up the beams of each of the three walls. And then they are covered in gold, and they're put in silver sockets. The east, the front entrance, did not have a wall. It had an entrance screen, a vilon, an entrance, a woven entrance screen. Hey. There were brichim, bars, B-A-R-S, bars that ran. How did the walls stand up? Well, it's a miracle. Hashem could do whatever he wants, yes. But if you take a piece of wood and you cover it in gold and you put it next to another piece of wood that's covered in gold and nothing is holding it together, what's going to happen to those two pieces? They're going to fall down, forwards, backwards, sideways, they're going to topple over each other. So there were brichim, bars, long bars that ran along the side of each wall. How many brichim? Five. But a briach on the top third of the beam, bottom third of the beam, and then a briach hatichon that went through the middle of all the bars. And some say it's very miraculous because it bent. The briach hatichon, the middle beam that ran through the middle bar, that ran through the three walls, south, west, north, was a miracle because it bent. It ran through the south wall. You couldn't see it. If you were standing outside the Mishkan, you didn't see it. So if my arm is the beam, the Briach HaTichon ran right through the middle. They bored a hole in the middle of each beam. They put the middle bar in. It was the support. How's it going to hold up? But it was a nace. It ran through the south wall. It turned the corner to go along the back west. It turned the corner to go along the northern wall. Okay, so let's go back to Ibn Ezra. Where am I up to? The Gam Brichim. Gam Brichim. One, two, three. The fifth line, middle of the fifth line. So the point is, says the Ibn Ezra, how exactly did they carry all this wood out of Egypt? The trees, the trunks, they needed it for the beams. Each one is 10 amos. They need it for all the brichim. The reason I said five is because there's the top brichim, which don't run through all of the walls. They are separate on each wall. Top, bottom, plus the brich hatichon. Veheim avru amitzrayim makam hamlucha. And on their way out of Egypt, says Ibn Ezra, they passed by the palace, the place of royalty. The Mitzvah would have stopped them, Paro and his entourage, and they would have said, excuse me, why are you carrying these huge trees? Now, do you want to say they're in the middle of Malchus Bechoros so they don't care? That's possible, but that's not what Ibn Ezra says. Ibn Ezra is clearly troubled by logistically, what's the problem? This doesn't make logistic sense. I would call him in this pshat, the Rashbam is a rationalist. The Rambam is a rationalist. Ibn Ezra is saying this doesn't make any sense. The Egyptians would have said they passed by the palace. What exactly is the answer going to be when they're asked, why are you taking these, you're taking matzah, I understand, you have a 3-day antif. But what are you taking with you? Why are you taking atzei shitim? You're going away for 3 days, and you know how to pack. Well, hopefully all you take is a carry-on. You don't take a massive duffel bag like when you're packing with a kid for a camp. A small carry-on, 3 days, you're coming back. We're not sure. Is this a Mesorah? Is this a Kabbalah that has passed down from father to son from the time of Egypt? Is this a Kabbalah and a Mesorah? in our hands from our fathers, that they took cedars out of Egypt, and if so, we accept it. This is a beautiful, beautiful Ibn Ezra. There's a lot to learn. It's very interesting. When I was preparing this, I reminded of something that just happened with my son in one of his Israel yeshiva interviews. So he interviewed at 3 different yeshivos. And he came home last week and he said he had his interview with such and such yeshiva. He said, and I was very, very impressed. It was very unusual and interesting, the questions they asked him. So one question was, they showed my son a verse in English. And they said, what do you think of this verse? So my son said, I don't agree with it for this reason. And he explained why he doesn't agree with the verse. So the rabbi said, what if I told you it's from Mishlei? So my son would say, then it's true, but I don't understand it. So the rabbi said, what if I told you it's from the Quran? So my son said, I said I didn't agree with it. And he explained why. And the rabbi said, it's from the Quran. But when he asked him, what if I tell you it's from Mishlei? My son said, I would say it's true, but I don't understand it. Then he did 4 different things like this. It was really interesting. I was very, very impressed. It wasn't just, why do you want to come to our school? What do you want to gain from Israel? Where did you go to high school? What's your family? Which is also nice. Read the piece of Gemara. But they really wanted to see how he thinks. Then they asked him a question. And a second instance was Kalim. He fired on a piece of Gemara that has to do with Tvilas Kalim. Hagala, Tvilas Kalim. Hagala, Tvilas Kalim. So if you have a metal jar, bottle, and it's covered in plastic, does it need Tvila? So I think my son first said no, because you're not drinking from the metal, you're drinking from plastic. So the rabbi said, okay, what's the other opinion? My son said, the other opinion is, since the metal is the main part of the kli, it does need Tvila. But the third question, which is what this reminded me of very much, was Ibn Ezra. He asked him, let's say we told you we found a pair of tefillin from Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're round, but not like hearsay, not like WhatsApp, but not fake news. We know it's verified, there was a note in there, these are tefillin from Moshe Rabbeinu, I could bring them and I could show you, and they're round, would you wear them? So my son said no. So he said, why? Because we have a Mesorah. That's what this reminded me of. So Ibn Ezra first tells you, this doesn't make sense to me. But if it's a Kabbalah from our fathers, then we will accept it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Minhag of Aseinu B'yadeinu. I know that's Minhagim, but I might not understand something. What do you think of this verse? I don't agree with it. And he told them why. My son even showed me the verse after. And he told them why. If I told you it's from Mishlei, it's true, but I don't understand it. If I told you it's from the Quran, I don't agree with it, which is what he said in the first place. So I really think this line of Ibn Ezra is very powerful. V'hine lo yadanu im kabbalah ha'isahi b'yad avoseinu shami mitzrayim hotziim. I'm not sure, says Ibn Ezra, but if this is a Mesorah that came from our forefathers, that Taka, despite all the logistic questions, he's already laid out for you. Why did Yaakov Avinu bring them down? Where did he plant them? What purpose did they have for our Azim? Each beam is so huge. How did they take them out? They're only going for 3 days. What did they say to the royal guards when they passed by the palace and they say, you know, you're going for 3 days. You don't exactly have a carry-on. Why are you carrying massive trees? But if it's a Mesorah, gam anachnu nasur al mashmatam. Okay, then we'll accept it. However, says that Ibn Ezra, v'im svarahi. But if this statement is based on reasoning, yesh levakesh darach acheras. This is really fascinating. Fascinating. It's fascinating. I only knew this Rashi. I never knew anything. I never delved into the Atzei Shittim. Well, when I was thinking of Aviyah Lober's, I thought of it a lot. Her note, I thought, wow, it connects to the Sedra because Atzei Shittim make up the structure, which I already started to think was very interesting and impactful because it's organic matter. It's something living. That's the foundation of Mishkan. And this really is unbelievable. V'im svarahi yesh levakesh darach acheras. If we have it as a Mesorah, then we're going to accept it, a Kabbalah. But if it's based on reasoning, we need to find another answer. We need to come up with a different answer. V'nemar, fourth line from the bottom, towards the middle of the line. V'nemar, ki haya samuch al har Sinai ya'ar atzei shitim. Ibn Ezra said, I know, it's fascinating, right? It's unbelievable. Remember, they came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Parak Yitas, Pasuk Alf of the Book of Shemos, they came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, shortly after they left Egypt. 6 weeks after they left Egypt. V'namar, we can say, ki haya samuch al har Sinai yar atzei shitim. Wherever they were camped in that wilderness of Sinai, nearby, there was a forest. A forest of shitim trees, cedar. Ubivam sham amar lahem, shasham yisakvu harbe. The ein aleim anan kasher pirashti. When they got there, Moshe said, we're going to be here for a while. In this encampment, they were. They were at Har Sinai for 1 year minus 10 days. They arrived there in Rosh Chodesh Sivan in the first year. The clouds lifted up in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, Parshas Baloscha. Baloscha? So they start journeying. The clouds lift up on 20 Iyar. So Iyar Sivan. 10 days before a year is up, the clouds lift up. So there at Har Sinai for 1 year minus, I just told you, 10 days. So when they got there, Moshe told them, listen, we're going to be here for a long time. And at this point, says the Ibn Ezra, according to the Ibn Ezra, they did not yet have the Anane HaKavod. So they're next to a forest, and they don't have the Anane HaKavod, and they're in a desert, and it's hot, and they're going to be there for a long time. As Asa Kol Echad, second to last line of the Ibn Ezra, as Asa Kol Echad Suka, so what did they make for themselves? Little huts. They built a booth for themselves. The Hanasiim Asu Kidmus Chatzeros, and the Nasiim, the tribal princes, set up princely courtyards. Kol Echad Kefi Ma'ila, so everyone had a sukkah or a chatzer according to his importance. So I don't know, maybe some had two bedrooms, some had three bedrooms, some had a palace to, you know, be mekabel the kahal. V'karto Kol Hayar Ki Amrav Haya. What does that mean? What does Kares mean? Kares just means to be cut down, by the way, okay? It really has a frightening association, but really Kares means to cut down. V'karto Kol Hayar, they cut down the whole forest. Ki Amrav Haya, they needed a lot of sukkos. They needed a lot of lodging. They're a big nation. V'asu sukkos, and they made for themselves sukkos. U'moshe lo dibra lahem davar mishkan rach achar yom kippurim. When did they start building? I was just learning early this week with someone. We went through the whole timeline from Yitzhak Mitzrayim to Tisha B'Av. And I told her, this is something that people really, it's not clear to people. We went through Mamish the whole timeline from Korban Pesach, Yud Dal Nisan, year one, until Tisha B'Av. And we're not really necessarily always clear about the dates and the details. How long was Moshe and Shemayim? How many sets of 40 days and 40 nights? What was he doing for each set? When did he come down? When did we start Mishkan? When was it finally erected? When did the Anan lift up, which I already told you? So he says, Moshe didn't speak to him about Mishkan until after Yom Kippurim. But they came to the wilderness of Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. He said, we're going to be here a long time. They did clear cutting. They cut down this entire forest. And when he said to them on Motzei Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, on the 120th day of the third set of 40 days, he was up there for three sets of 40 days and 40 nights. On Yod Tishrei, Hashem said, Solachti Kidvaracha. Moshe came down with the second luchos, which were carved by Moshe and engraved by God, which were not shattered or broken. And on Motzei Yom Kippurim, Moshe said, now we're going to start Mishkan. Bring the contributions. This is what we're doing. That's one of the reasons why we start building a sukkah on Motzei Yom Kippur. We just heard Salachti Kidvaracha. And now we're osik in the same binyan that they were osik. And now we're building a house for us and Hashem to dwell together. So they started with Mishkan on Motzei Yom Kippurim, v'zeh tam v'chol asher nimtza ito. And that's what the pasuk means in Vayakol when it says everyone who had with him, like Ibn Ezra says, for his own need. So we know what they used the mirrors for. Rashi tells us very clearly, the woman v'no Yisrael ha'yubi adan mor'ot. So we know what they used the mirrors for. Why did they use the Atzei Shitim? If the Pasuk says, Asher Nimtza Ito, it must mean they're using it for personal needs. So now the Ibn Ezra says, I told you what the personal needs are. They built for them Sukkos. When Moshe said, we need Atzei Shitim, what did they do? They had plenty of Atzei Shitim. They cut down an entire forest. And presumably by that point, they have the Anane HaKavod. Because that's what we celebrate on Sukkos. They started on Motzei Yom Kippurim. On Sukkos, the Anane HaKavod returned to Klal Yisrael, meaning on Sukkos. On Tesvav Tishrei, the Anane HaKavod returned. So they don't need the shade from the beams anymore. The Anane HaKavod are there, so what are they going to do with all this wood? Hello? Donate it to the Mishkan. Every person in this room should have said the same thing. Are you all with me? This is very clear. It should be very clear. It's fascinating. Okay. Are you not with me? Okay. I'm trying to explain it. Okay. I think that's just incredible. I think we also learn about Misorah. That's really not the point of Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is to tell you where he thinks these Atzei Shitim came from. But he also throws in there that if it's a Kabbalah, then we accept it as Misorah. But if it's because of reasoning, we have to offer something else. Amazing. The Das HaKeinim is also amazing. All of Torah is amazing. I'm on the bottom of page 1. Das HaKeinim is beautiful. When I read the first word line of the Das HaKeinim, I knew I was going to include this. I didn't even know what else the Das HaKeinim said. I didn't even particularly care at that point because when I read the first piece of the Das HaKeinim, I said, I have to teach this. The Das HaKeinim says, Shitim is Rosh Tevos. Look inside. What is it, Rosh Tevos? It's an acronym. Shalom, Tova, Yeshua, Mechila. So I said, I don't know what else it's going to say in here, but that's unbelievable. You said, it's amazing. Not Recon. This is an acronym. You want to know what the Mishkan is founded on? You want to know what a Jewish home should be founded on? You want to know where God will come and rest in your home? Yes, everything was covered in gold and silver and copper and fabrics, and it was very beautiful. But we've already established that the foundation of Mishkan was these Atzei Shitim. What does Shitim stand for? Shalom, Tova, Yeshua, and Mechila. Shem says, if you want me to rest in your home, if you want me to rest not in your home, in you, Vasuli Mikdash Veshachanti, you all know, Bisocham 25:8, it's right after the list of the materials, that's the very next pasuk. Make for me a Mikdash, I will dwell within them. So because Baruch Hu says, you want a strong foundation, we already saw the eras of which this Shitim wood is one type. It says, Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, strong and great. You have to have shalom in your life. Then you will see tova. Not only will I bench you with tova, but do tova with other people. When we live b'shalom and tova with others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Yeshua. And this will all happen when we grant one another mechila. Now, there's different ways of interpreting Das HaKeinim. You could say, God is saying, I will bless you with shalom, I will bless you with tova, I will grant you Yeshua, and I will grant you mechila. So this acronym could be both about our relationship with God and Hashem's lesson to us and how to interact with other people. This is a lesson both in Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chaveru. Because Baruch Hu says, if you build this home and you worship me there like you're supposed to, you will have shalom, I will grant you shalom, Hashem's name is shalom, Masechah Shabbos Tambi. I will grant you tova, call the Avad Rachmana Latav Avad, Masechah Brachos Samech, Yeshua, Hisyatzvuru, as Yeshua, as Hashem, Asher Yasa Lechamayim, I think it's Shmos 14:13, and find the Mechila, the whole place of the Mishkan is a place for Kapara. The cover of the Aron Kodesh is called the, what's the cover of the Aron Kodesh called? Kapores. Kapores is from the root word, Kapara, because in this Mishkan, Hashem will grant us Kapara. So Hashem says, I'll grant you Mechila. On the other hand, Hashem is saying something else. I will not be in your life unless you know how to live with each other. You want to cause Baruch Hu in your life, then you have to have your fellow Jew in your life. Are you B'Shalom with the people in your life? Are you B'Tova with the people in your life? Yeshua You daven for their Yeshua like you daven for your own. And finally, when somebody wrongs you, and I'm not talking about, I always say this, I'm really not talking about the extreme cases where it's pikuach nefesh and a person needs professional help. Take those out. The small things that insult us, that we can't look past, that we just can't get over, that we get mad at people, grant people mechila, then I will be with you. So that's the first thing. I thought this was absolutely beautiful. That's what Shittim stands for, and that's the foundation of the Mishkan. Okay, it turns out the rest of the Das Kanim is kedai to learn as well. So, note, Rikon, Shalom, Tova, Yeshua, Mechila, Gevaldik. Or Bemidbar, Hayu, Sham, Yarm, at the bottom line, one of the Das Kanim. Oh, look at this. Ubamidbar Hayusham Ya'arim Gedolim. What did he just say? Did anyone ever hear this before today's shir? This is definitely not famous like Rashi, okay? Rashi, everyone knows. Where do they get Shittim cheese? The Kindlech and Yeshiva. Also, no, Yaakov. I'm not making fun of Rashi, Chas V'Sham. You can't learn any of Torah without Rashi. But there's so much going on here deeper than our preconceived, it's not a preconceived notion. Deeper than the knowledge that we know, and sometimes we just go through life with always the same knowledge without diving deeper into a subject. Uba midbar hayusham ya'arim gedolim. Wow. In the desert, there were very big forests. Now, where did we hear that? We heard it 5 minutes ago by who? Ibn Ezra. In the desert, there were big forests. Shanatlu misham osan etzim. Second line from the bottom. That they took from there these trees. Hakorim hakruim shitim. These trees that they took from these forests in the desert are called shitim trees. That's why they're called atzei shitim. So you want to know what kind of forest was it? What grows in the Amazon forest? Millions of species. Okay? You could have an orchard of apples. You could have an orchard of oranges. You could have a vineyard of grapes. This forest was what kind of forest? A shittim forest. Now, interestingly, the Das Kanim is going to bring two proofs, one from Torah and one from Nevi'im, that there were shittim trees in the forest. Dichtivt. Like the Pasuk says, as soon as I read it, I knew where the Pasuk was from, Baruch Hashem. Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim. Who remembers where that's from? Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim. Vayachol ha'am liznos espinos moav. Vatikra ena la'am lizivche Eloheihen. Where am I quoting from? Parshas? Parshas Balak. Balaam's advice doesn't work. Chapter 22, 23, 24, he tries to curse. Instead he says, Matova lacha Yaakov, Mishkan Asach Yisrael. He tries to curse, he says, Darach kochav mi Yaakov. He tries to curse and he says, Hein am levadad yishkan v'goyim lo yishchashav. So Balak says, I hired you to curse them, what are you doing? Balak's very angry. So Balaam says, wait a minute, I have advice. What's the advice, Rachman Alatzlan? Get your woman to seduce them, Eloheim shall elu so nezima. I think it's Sanhedrin 109 or 110, Kuf Tesher Kuf Yod. If you get them to sin with your woman, God won't be happy. And Taka, that's exactly what happened. Baal Pa'ar, Zimri and Cosby. So Shemos, not Shemos, but Midbar 25:1 tells you, Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim, Vayachal ha'am liznos espinos moav. Now, the Gemara there, again, I don't remember if it's Kuf Tes or Kuf Yod. The Gemara there says, Shittim is Milashon Shtus. These non-Jewish women got the Jewish men to be involved in Maisa Shtus, Maisa Zima, things that no Jew should be involved in. But the Das Kanim says something else. He says that this is proof that in the desert they were camped near a place called Shittim. Now, it could only be that it's called Shittim based on the forest, which is right next door to where they were camped. And what was in this forest? What kind of trees? Not apples, oranges, figs, grapes, pomegranates. What kind of tree was this? Shittim. And therefore it says, Vayeshev Yisrael b'shittim. So the Das Kanim says, I'm proving to you that in the desert Taka, they had Shittim trees. Furthermore, Vayeshlach Yoshua b'nun min ha-shittim. So I did not remember that, even though I taught Yoshua for Nachyomi, it was the first cycle, and now we're up to the third. Okay, how's everyone doing with it? Those who are involved, yeah. What day is it? What number, Parak Yoshua, are we up to? 15? So I'm teaching Shoftim, Eretz Hashem. And Yoshua is 24 Prakim. You're up to 15. So less than 2 weeks, we're starting Shoftim together, Eretz Hashem. So even though I taught this, I didn't remember, to be honest. But, Vayishlach Yoshua binun min hashitim. When Yeshua sent his spies to Yericho, where did he send them from? Shittim. So the Das Kanim says, I'm proving to you that in the desert, there's a place called Shittim, based on this big forest, Ya'arim Gedolim, Shanetlum, Yishanoso Eitzim. Last line of the Das Kanim, page one, this is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, I really find, I say this sometimes, not as often as I say nothing in the Torah is an accident, not as often as I say it's my favorite Rashi, my favorite piece of the Rav, every word is important, but the more you learn, the more you know, you don't know. And the more you learn, the more you realize how vast is the Yam HaTorah and how much there is to learn. I said to someone recently, I understand why people sit in Kollel and learn the entire day, because you could learn your whole entire life and never, ever, ever be finished. Now, obviously, as women, it's not an option, and we have a lot of things to do. Baruch Hashem, it's Erev Shabbos, and we have things to do as well. But, really, the more I learn over the years, instead, it's not like the Musa Olam, the more you learn, the more Bal Gaiva, the more you think how smart you are. The more you learn in Torah, what do you recognize? It's so, well, I don't know if we could say we don't know anything. Because that is putting down all our previous knowledge, and I think that would be insulting to Hashem. But how much there is to learn and how much we still don't know. So, Va'al Shem Hayar Nikra HaMakom Shittim. Because of this forest, this place is called Shittim. I'm on the last line of page 1. I need to tell you something. I knew when I prepared the shir, very, very late last night, that this shir is going to be for 2 weeks. As an assembly leader. So you need these handouts next week. If you don't want to take them home and bring them back, it's fine. Put them there. I will take them home, and Be'ezer Hashem, I'll bring them back. So either you take them and bring them, or put them back, and I'll take them. Okay. Va'al Shem Hayar, Nikra HaMakom Shittim. Because of this forest, which I just brought you two places from Torah and Nevi'im, says the Das Kanim, that's called Shittim. That's why the place is called Shittim. Because of this forest, V'zeh Shahaya, Item Be'ol. Oh, he's quoting a pasuk from Yishayahu. By the way, I also thought this was so cool. Look at the pasuk from Yeshayahu that the Das Kanim is quoting here. Look at the pasuk. Etein b'midbar erez shita v'hadas v'eitz shamen asim ba'arava v'rosh tidhar uta asher yachtav. It's a pasuk from Yeshayahu. I'm on the last footnote on page 1. You should not be confused. The last footnote on page 1. I will give in the desert cedars, acacia trees, myrtles, pines. This translation is from Chabad. I will place in the wilderness box trees first and cypresses together. So in other words, the Das Kanim is bringing you this pasuk to prove to you that Hashem says in the desert there are all different kinds of forests and all different kinds of trees. And the first tree that's listed here is the Eretz and then the Shita. But what I want to show you on this pasuk, which I never knew before either till I prepared, you know, in Zmiras of Shabbos day, we say, Hadas Shita Birosh Tidhar, Vlamazhir Vlanizhar. It's in Dvar Yikra. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know Dvar Yikra? Okay. Look at that pasuk, please. Hadas, it's the fifth word of the pasuk. Shita is the fourth word of the pasuk. Birosh Tidhar is the last few words of the verse. I'm just showing you something. I never knew where it's from. Did you know where it's from when you're saying that Zemer? Hadash Shita Birosh Titar Velamasir Velanisar Shlomim Ten Kamei Nahar. Well, here it's obviously from this Pasuk in Yishayahu, because it's talking about Hadas Shita Birosh Titar. Lots of new learning going on. Okay, so what? We're not even going to finish the Das Kanim? 1 second. Okay, we might not even finish the Das Kanim. Let's go. Va'al Shem Hayar Nikra Malkom Shittim V'zeh Shahamar Atem B'midbar Eres Shita V'adas. So we just went to the pasuk. So he says that pasuk is proof that in the desert there are all different kinds of trees. V'hu Eitz Kal. Now, unlike Rav Shamsher Val Hirsch and others who say that an Eres is a very strong, according to the Das Kanim, the Shita then is not an Eres. The Arzei HaLevonan represent a great strength. When the Mitzora on Parshas Tazria, Perek Yudalad of Vayikra, has to bring his korban to atone for Lashon Hara and Saras, part of what he brings in the bundle is 8 erez, cedar wood. Why? Because he was a Baal Gaiva like a cedar. He thought he was so tall and proud like a cedar, he has to lower himself down. So an erez is seen as a very tall, proud tree. And that's how Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch interprets these shittim trees. But the Das Akenim says something else. Vihine eitz kal, turn over the page. Hine eitz kal me'od v'chalak. It's a very lightweight tree, and it's smooth. So according to him, the shita is not what? To make sure you understand. Not the erez. According to Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, the shita is the erez. According to the Das Akenim here, the shita is not the erez. Now, that shouldn't trouble us. First of all, eilu ve'eilu. And second of all, in the pasuk from Yeshayahu that we just saw, it lists many different kinds of trees in the forest, and it does not put erez and shita as the same kind of tree. The pasuk from Yeshayahu says there's erez, shita, hadats, a shemen. So there's all different kinds of trees. So according to the Das Akenim, this is an eitz kal, a lightweight tree, me'od, very much, the chalak. What is chalak? Smooth. V'teida, top of page 2. Shahu kal, so he says, I'll prove to you that it's lightweight. Shaharei mem ches krashim, they needed 48 beams, v'adonim tzah mechvav, tzadivav, and the sockets for 48 beams were 96 sockets. Each beam was covered in gold, and it had 2 tendons on the bottom of each beam. Each beam is a plank of wood covered in gold that has 2 tendons in the bottom that are housed in 2 sockets. So each beam had how many sockets? 2. So there's 48 beams that make up the walls, plus 96 sockets. Va'amudim, va'adonei ha-chatzer, and there's the pillars, and there is the sockets of the courtyard. V'tisha amudei ha-mishkan, chamesha mesach, v'dalcha parochos, v'yisod ha-seim va'adonei. He's counting all of the beams and all the places that the wood is necessary for in the Mishkan. You have 48 beams, and you have 96 sockets, and you have the pillars, and you have the sockets of the courtyard, and you have the 9 beams of the Mishkan, and 5 held up the entranceway screen, and there are 4 by the paroches, and there are their pegs and their sockets. Kazem moshchin shmona bakar, all of this, every time they had to travel, is pulled by 8 oxen, shenasnu levnei merari. Each family of Levi, Gershon, Kasim, Merari, was given a different task when it comes to moving the Mishkan. Every time they need to dismantle the Mishkan and reassemble it at the new location, the different families of Leviim have different jobs. So the transfer of all of these beams was given to the B'nai Merari, and they were given 8 oxen with covered wagons to pull all of this. So what he's saying is, how could they possibly, if the wood was very heavy, if it was a razim, he's going back to logistics. Now, could it have been a miracle? Yes, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying, how could they possibly have carried such heavy wood from place to place? It's not possible. So he says it's very light and it's smooth. Kemosh mefarsh b'pashas naso. Va'av al pisha kvashim gavon eser. Even though every beam is 10 amos high, v'rachavan amo v'chetzi, and its width is 1.5, and its depth is 1.5, the avian amma, and its thickness is an amma. Allah, I don't know what shin mem stands for, and I didn't know what I was preparing either. Shema mina, ki eitz kal ma'od, he says, despite everything I just told you, about how heavy, about how many, like if you're carrying a very heavy beam, and it's covered in gold, and there's 48 of them. How is it possible? That's only the beams. What about the ones that held up the entrance curtain? What about the ones that held up the parochas? You have to carry all the silver sockets and the courtyard with copper sockets. How are they going to do this? So he says, despite everything I told you and everything they had to carry, 8 kamot. I really want to finish the Das Kanim. It is very light wood. I have an appointment. I know we all have to go. V'doma le'etche korin midara balaz. In old French, it resembles a wood. I don't know what wood that is. Okay? But it's a light wood. There's different kinds of wood, and they have different weight. V'rashi zal peirisha krashim hayu minetio shenata Yaakov v'vala mitzrayim v'kishayasu nasum imahem v'asum em krashim. He quotes Rashi. Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu brought these plantings. He planted them when they came to Egypt. When they left, they carried them out, and they made the beams. Zehu sheyasad hapaya. I don't know which python he's talking about. This is what the python said. I don't know which python he's talking about, so I couldn't look it up. I don't know what he's referring to, but he says, that's what Rashi says. Va'od isa b'medra shahabriya chatichon. Oh, this is so cool. I explained to you what the briya chatichon was. Remember what I tell you the briya chatichon is? The middle bar that's miraculous because it goes down the southern wall. What does it do when it gets to the corner of the southwest quarter? It turns. What does it do when it gets to the west-north corner? It turns again. So it's one beam that goes through all the walls of the Mishkan. This is very cool. He quotes a medrash that the Briya HaTichon, Hayami Makaloshel Yaakov, was the what? The staff of Yaakov Avinu. Kedamar, like the Pasuk says, who remembers where that's from? Kibamalki Avarti Yaseyar Din Ezeh, who remembers where that's from? It's right before he meets Esav. And he's praying to God to save him. And he says, God, you've been so good to me. When I came here, I only had the staff in my hand. But now I have all these people, wives, families, children. So he says, there's a Midrash that says the Briya HaTichon was actually the Makel Shel Yaakov. Amazing. It was a miraculous staff, and it became a miracle here. So Yaakov is the foundation of the Mishkan. Ve'evil Mitzrayim, they brought the staff of Yaakov to Egypt. Ve'kishayatsu, when they left, halu imo. The staff of Yaakov was brought down to Egypt, which makes logistical sense. When they left, they brought it with them. They must have given it to Moshe from Malachas HaMishkan. It became the miraculous Briya HaTichon. Says Aviyah Lober, go home and plant the midos within your heart and within your home. And we see that the essence of Mishkan, the essence of the home we build for us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is organic, growing, living, healthy material that teaches us about Eitz Chaim, Yil Mechazikim V'Asachem Ushar. We're continuing next week. I need the handles. Either take them and bring them back or leave them there and I'll take them. Besoros Tovos, thank you to all.